I'm mathematician, kind of a very impure mathematician, in fact. And I'm here because I was some of the friends of Pancho, like we say about him, Francisco. I met him in the 70s. I'm in Chile, and after in the CREA Center in the Polytechnique with Jean-Pierre Dupuis in the 80s, and we discussed a lot because, like a mathematician, I was interested in the time in cerebral automata, neural nets, discrete mathematics, complexity, and so on. So we had a lot of nice discussion at the time, and I'm here to speak about mathematics, not really related exactly with the work of Francisco, but something similar to previous model. The name of my talk is Complexity on Simply Discrete Dynamical Systems. I would try to, mathematicians usually try to construct very simple worlds and with not a lot of parameters, few parameters. Of course, there are no realistic worlds, but since we don't have a lot of parameters, it is easy to know what happened, easy, quotes, it's not usually easy. So, my approach here is related with cerebral automata, automata embedded on graph, finite state machines evolving on graph, this kind of stuff. And also there are a lot of notion of complexity from ergodic theory, from computer science, and so on. Here, my approach to complexity in this talk is about the amount of time for the discrete dynamical system to compute something. How many steps of time you take to compute something, for instance, in a cerebral automata, or the possibility in, for instance, two dimensions, like the previous model, to compute everything. What is the meaning to compute everything? To compute like a Turing machine or like a computer, for very simple models. That's the idea to develop here. For instance, if we take here in this a one-dimensional cerebral automata with the neighborhood in the right and to the left, the nearest neighborhood, and we want to know what happened in this position, it's enough to take this triangle. So in a finite amount of time, we may know what happened here. In some cases, we have shortcut theorems. So it's enough to give the initial condition here and the local rule in order to know, without to compute here, what happened in this time. In other cases, it's so complicated that the only way to know what happened is to wait what happened in the computer, to watch in the computer. There are no, in this case, a kind of shortcut path to go from the initial condition to what happened in time. So we say it's very complex, we can't predict the behavior of the automaton, and so on. This kind of stuff. So mathematician likes a lot to have shortcut theorems. So given initial condition and the local rules, to know everything, what happened in the limit of time for the evolution of the discrete dynamical system. But of course, that is not usually the thing that happens. Usually there are no shortcut theorems, and automata, in fact one-dimensional or two-dimensional, are usually very complex. Here I will present one automaton. There are a lot of possibilities, kind of example that it was developed 10 years ago for some physicist, by one of the physicists that proposed the model was Peer Back. And the paradigm, the name of this model was self-organized criticality. And the model is a model of a kind of sand pile, sand like in the beach, pile, okay? And this is a very simple model, but a very simple local rule, but in the time people know that the behavior was very easy to compute. And in fact, it's very difficult. And I will try to give here some of these results. The best thing for... There are no mathematicians here, so the best thing is here. What is the kind of dynamics? Take this kind of game here. You have tokens in each vertex. 3 tokens, 2 tokens, 1 token, 0 token. Okay? The idea is, if you have in one vertex enough tokens, enough, what is the meaning of enough? More than the name of neighborhood here. You have 3 neighborhoods and you have 3 tokens. So you have enough to give 1 token to each one, to each people in your neighborhood. Here, you don't have enough token because you have 1, 2, 3 neighborhoods and only 1 token. So you wait for some token for you. That's the model. So the dynamics is like that. This guy gives 1 token to each one. The other one don't have enough token to give. So the number of token is constant. There are no creation of tokens. Okay? So here now this one has 3 tokens and one here, here, and here, and so on, and you have a cycle. It's a deterministic model, of course. You have a cycle, 4 cycles, forever and forever. So the model is so simple that one may say, but it's not interesting, because always, if you have a number, initial number of tokens, it's trivial to know that this number is constant in time. And for a finite graph, like this one, there will be some cycle. The question is, what kind of cycle do you have there? When you are going to a cycle or to an attractor, which is fixed point, for instance, or what's happening in finite graph? And this model is related with some piles. We will see in a moment this kind of relation. Why? Because in one dimension, that is the same dynamic, but in one dimension, in a line, you have 10 tokens in the center, and here you have 0 tokens. And the degree is, this guy is related with the 2 neighborhoods, left and right, for each one. So, you have here 8 tokens, because they, it give 1 token here and here, 6 to 2, and so on. And finally, since you have a very, it's an infinite graph or one-dimensional serial automaton, in a finite number of steps, you arrive to an attractor which is fixed. Here, everybody has 0 or 1 token. It's not enough to continue the dynamics. The system is arrived to a fixed point here, an attractor. One question for a mathematician in one dimension is, what is the number of steps that you have to take, depending on this number of tokens, to go to the attractor? It's very easy to prove that you have, in this one-dimensional case, always you are going to one attractor like this one. But the number of steps is a very complex problem, and we work in this kind of problem in the last 8 years ago. And other people like Lazaro Lovach, a very well-known mathematician, works also in this one. And the number of steps, the exact number is something like, is related with the decomposition of the number of tokens. It's, we have exact formulas for that. We may do in one dimension. And why is related with some piles? Because we may relate this model with this model here. It's not direct to do that, but it's another kind of game. Here you have the 10 tokens, and now the play is you have 10 tokens in a position, and you put one to the right, 9-1, because you have a kind of very, it's like a column of sand, and if the height difference between two columns is bigger than 2, so 0-10, you have one avalanche, so one grain of sand is going to the right, so 10 go to 9-1. 1 is not so much, the difference between 1 and 0 is only 1, so there are no a slope that is a big one, so you take one grain here and you go to 8-2, and here you have two possibilities, two avalanches possible. 8-2 go to 8-1-1, so the avalanche is in the 2, and in the other case it's 7-3, and so on, and you have a kind of mathematical structure which is a lattice. The lattice is a name, and we proved that it's a lattice for every number of tokens. And this lattice has a lot of mathematical properties, and we may calculate exactly the final slope of the sand avalanche and so on. And what happens so in one dimension? In one dimension, we are very happy, like mathematicians, because we know everything about this simple model. The number of steps to go to an attractor, the structure of the different kind of dynamics for the automaton, and so on. But what happened in two dimensions? Like in previous case. You know, I'm a mathematician, so technology for me is very complex. I don't understand that. You know, now.
Here you can point your.
You know, because where?
Point here, there is
you know, mathematicians are very stupid guys. You know, so okay, nice. For me, no. Okay, so what happened in two dimensions? In one dimension, the problem was a simple problem, because we know simple. We take a lot of years. 3-4 years between several people from France, from the United States, from Chile, to arrive to this kind of, to say, simple problem in one dimension. What's happening in two dimensions now? Okay? The same problem. So, what is the local rule? Only one rule. In two dimensions, the lattice, each guy, like in the von Neumann model, has four neighborhoods. Here, here, and here, and here. So the number of tokens is 4, to give one to each one, in parallel with the other guys. So what happens when you have a lot of tokens, and you do that? Of course, if you are working in a two-dimensional space, and you take a finite number of tokens for the first step, in a finite number of steps, you are going to an attractor which everything is finished. There are no dynamics. But in the time when that happened, may I compute something? So it's a kind of the universe, people say, I'm not really sure about that, is going to the maximum entropy. Okay? But in the time, we are here, very complex guys. So complex. I don't know. There are some ones that are complex, also other ones are complicated. That is different. But in this automaton, the attractor in two dimensions is also very simple. But what happened in the time before to arrive to the attractor? May I, in this path of time, to compute something? And the answer is that in two dimensions, of course in 3-4, it's easy to see that, it's a very complex problem, because before to arrive to the attractor, we may compute like a Turing machine, like a computer, because we may create wires like in a computer, for instance. So we change completely complexity from one dimension to two dimensions. Here, suppose that you have a line with this configuration. There are one token, zero token, there are one token in each vertex, 0, 2, 1, 1. Here, since this guy has two neighborhoods, it is going to 0, and it is one token here, and so on. So you have a kind of glider. This configuration is going to the right. It's moving in the space, in the one-dimensional space, in this case here. Of course, if you put the two here, you are going to the left. So you have a way to convey information to the right or to the left. And when you have ways to convey information, you say, what may I see about this information here? And here you have this graph a little more complicated with the branching here. So when information arrives, this information is going in the two branches, here and here. So you have, like in computer science, this is an OR gate. Branching and an OR gate, something like that. And when you have some logical gates, of course you are thinking about how to construct a computer. So what I need to construct a computer? Not only this kind of branching on an OR gate, but I need an AND gate. If I have an OR and an AND gate, at least I may compute every monotone circuit without negations. Okay? And that's enough. So, in fact, with this kind of codification, one may prove for a particular graph, a two-dimensional, this kind of graph, we may wield OR and NOT gate. That is a graph, you know. NOT is essentially to change two arcs. This line comes here and this one comes here. So, with this kind of component, we prove that we may construct a graph and with every gate in order to realize a computer. And this computer, I give you some examples of gates for this computer, this kind of thing. That's the realization of, I don't remember exactly, at the 97, that is a kind of a structure to compute something. I don't remember what kind of circuit we have here. Anyway, it's a very complex situation, so in two dimensions, we may construct for the SumPy model an infinite graph where one may compute everything, like a usual computer or like a Turing machine. Problem, the graph here is not a planar graph. There are some wires that are like that. We have to cross wires. It's not planar. We can put this graph in two dimensions. It's a very simple graph, in fact, but it's not a planar graph. So what happened in a two-dimensional space? And for the two-dimensional case, we prove it. That is what very recently, because it's a very difficult result, that is a two-dimensional cerebral automaton. The same one, you have token and you give ones to the north, to the east, to the south, and to the west. One token to each one. And for this model, here, what is the problem in two dimension with the token problem? The problem is when we have one avalanche of token in this direction, immediately we can cross information like that. If we have information that came from the west to the east, it's a kind of avalanche like that of tokens, immediately we have also one avalanche in this direction. So we can separate the west of the east or the south to the north. So in two dimension, with the sample model, it is impossible to cross information. So in two dimensions, this model has every logical gate, but in order to cross information, we have to use one dimension more. Okay? If not, we have this kind of pattern. That is an example, of course. This proof, of course, this is very technical, and don't worry about it. But this sample model is with the four neighborhoods: the right, the left, the north, and the east, and the south. What sample model in two dimensions we may use in order to cross information? And that is very easy. We take, and I say minimal result, we take, remember that the usual von Neumann model takes these four neighborhoods. Here we take a kind of holy cross like that, with two neighborhoods. So if we are thinking about some piles, the number of tokens now, the critical number of tokens for each vertex, this one is 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, 6. Because we have 8 neighborhoods. Okay? If we have 8 tokens in this position, after the one token is going here, 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 everywhere to the neighborhood. This is a new neighborhood for the same model. And the wires now are like that. That is a critical path. 7 is not enough to have an avalanche. But we have 7 here, for instance, and we put 8. So this is going to 0. It's going, one token is coming here, 8. So the 8 is going to the right. We have another way to convey information to the right or to the left. And the difference between previous models is that in this model we may cross information. Why? Because here the neighborhood is of the radius of the neighborhood is 2. The other case was 1. And it's like the domino plays. Because we have the logical gate, everything, and the crossover of information is like that. It's the west-east line of information and the south-north information. If we put 8 here, this 8 is going to the east. But this path is not activated for the avalanche. You may prove it that. If you put 8 here, for instance, you have 8, 8, 8 here, and so you may say information from the south to the north without to contaminate information in the other direction. So you may cross information. So the sample model in two dimensions with this new neighborhood of radius 2 is universal. It's a universal computer or universal automaton. But with radius 1, like von Neumann, it's not universal at all because we can cross information. In one dimension, it's an easy problem because we have exact results and shortcut theorems, and in 3 or 4 dimensions, we have also universality. So that is a kind of approach for complexity in order to say that when we take a very simple discrete dynamical system, we study the complexity of the dynamical system, like a cellular automaton, related with dimension and the radius of the neighborhood. Okay? This same kind of result we may develop for the majority function related with the spin classes, for instance, in statistical physics. The same kind of analysis we may use it for ANT models, okay? Computer ANT models, okay? And to prove in what case we have shortcut theorems or what cases we have very complex behavior. Here, the approach to very complex behavior is related in to simulate Turing machines. Universality is to have AND or a NAND gate. If you have that and you make cross information, you have everything in order to construct in two dimensions computers. Okay, thanks a lot.